This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Balt Bedwards. A Palestinian suicide bomber today blew himself up on a bus near the Israeli Prime Minister's official residence in Jerusalem. At least 10 Israelis were killed and scores of others wounded. It was the first suicide bombing inside Israel since Christmas and the first in Jerusalem in 5 months. The attack coincided with a prisoner exchange between Israel and the Lebanese guerrilla group Hezbollah. Israeli officials said the bombing would not affect the prisoner swap. NPR's Linda Gradstein was at the scene of the bombing and filed this report.
The force of the explosion ripped the roof off the green and white bus, leaving a charred skeleton of twisted metal. Eyewitnesses said the crowded bus was driving slowly along one of Jerusalem's main streets, just a few blocks from Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's home. Sharon was not in the house at the time. The bus driver, who was wounded in the attack, said he did not see anyone suspicious get on the bus. The Jerusalem police chief said there were no specific warnings of terrorist attacks. Meshulam Perelman, who owns a garden supply store about 30 yards from the site of the explosion, was setting out plants on the sidewalk in front of his shop when he heard the blast.
The first 1 minute was all of the around was shocked.
Quiet.
It takes more than a minute to begin to cry and to do something.
Perelman says windows were blown out in his shop. He says what he witnessed is the worst since he served in the Israeli army in the 1967 war. Medic Eli Beer was one of the first people on the scene.
On the bus, we saw a lot of people laying still on the chairs, sitting on the chairs, were killed. Most of the people that were injured were out of the bus already. We had a few people that we had to get out of the bus. And it was unfortunately another bombing that we didn't see for a while here in Jerusalem. And it wasn't easy to get into the scene after so long that we were sure it's a little quiet now. And it's not easy for us.
The bombing came a day after an Israeli army raid in the Gaza Strip in which soldiers killed 8 Palestinians, including 5 fighters. Militant groups had vowed to avenge that raid. It also came as U.S. envoy John Wolf met Israeli and Palestinian officials to try to get peace talks to resume. Israeli government spokesman David Baker blamed the Palestinian Authority for failing to crack down on militant groups as called for in the U.S.-backed roadmap to peace.
Israel has no choice but to wage an uncompromising war against terrorism. This is another example of how the Palestinians specifically target Israeli civilians in the hearts of our cities. The Palestinian Authority is doing nothing, absolutely nothing, to curb this terrorism.
Palestinian Cabinet Minister Saab Arafat said the Palestinian Authority condemns all attacks on civilians.
This vicious cycle can only be broken through resuming a meaningful peace process. So I urge the quartet to revive their role and to provide monitors on the ground. Because violence will breed violence. Bullets will breed bullets.
Israeli officials also said a prisoner exchange between Israel and Hezbollah is going ahead as planned. Hezbollah released a kidnapped Israeli businessman and the bodies of 3 Israeli soldiers at a German airbase this morning. In exchange, Israel is freeing several dozen Lebanese and hundreds of Palestinian prisoners. Israeli Foreign Ministry spokesman Jonathan Peled said Israel is paying a heavy price for the exchange.
We're releasing another 400 Palestinians with a very heavy heart because we know that these 400 Palestinians are going to return very quickly into the cycle of terrorism. But our objective was and still is to bring all our boys back home.
Hezbollah is planning large welcoming ceremonies for the 36 other Arab prisoners, among them 2 prominent Lebanese militiamen who were kidnapped by Israel more than a decade ago. Israel hopes the exchange will lead to a second stage in which Israel will receive information about kidnapped Israeli navigator Ran Arad, missing since 1986 and last believed held by Iran. Linda Gradstein, NPR News, Jerusalem.